Good evening. The clerk informs me that we have a quorum, and I hereby call this annual town meeting to order. My name is Kate Blake. It is an honor and a privilege to serve as your moderator for this 2022 annual town meeting. A few housekeeping items before we begin. First, for anyone who needs closed captioning and is unable to see the screen, if you have a mobile device, you can now follow along on that device. In order to do so, you will need to use the school's Wi-Fi for an internet connection. I'm told it is the LS After Dark Wi-Fi that you want to be using. Please note that there is no password for the Wi-Fi. Once you have an internet connection, please visit sudbury.ma.us/townmeeting/captions. Second, everyone must be in a seat. We cannot have anyone standing in the aisles or at their seat unless they've been called upon to speak. Fire exits are at the rear of the auditorium and the Rogers Theater where you entered, as well as in front through the stage. Bathrooms are located immediately across the hall from the rear exit doors, as well as outside the cafeteria. Next, if anyone needs an extra warrant, please raise your hand and keep it raised so that one of the scouts can deliver a warrant to you. Finally, for this annual town meeting, we have designated the following areas as mask expected seating. Scouts, there's a couple people who are raising their hands. If you could bring them a warrant, please. So the following areas will be mask expected seating: the accessible seating in the main auditorium, located in the frontmost and rearmost left seat and right seats of the auditorium, the balcony in the main auditorium, and the Rogers Theater, also known as the Black Box, which is the room immediately before the auditorium on the right after check-in. Throughout the pandemic, we have observed a wide variety of comfort level with COVID precautions. I ask that everyone be respectful of each other and their decisions regarding masking and distancing tonight. Now on to the business at hand. Please allow me to introduce you to members of the LS singing group, Accent A Cappella, who will lead us in the singing of the national anthem, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you very much. For the record, I have examined and found in order the call of the meeting, the officer's return of service, and confirmation of timely mailing of the warrants to residents. I can also report to the hall that the certified free cash, according to Robin Porcella, assistant town accountant, is $6,584,093. Technically, the moderator is required to read each article and all of the related procedural documents to the hall verbatim. As you know, Sudbury has adopted the practice of omitting the reading of the warrant by the moderator with the consent of the hall. Therefore, may I have a motion to dispense with the reading of the call of the annual town meeting, the officer's return of service notice, and the individual articles of the warrant? Is there a second? This requires a majority to pass. All in favor, please signify by raising your cards. Thank you. Any opposed? This motion passes by majority. And just as a note, as of now, we have nobody who is sitting in the Rogers Black Box Theater. If that changes, I will be communicating with the assistant moderators in that room. Speaking of assistant moderators, to assist me with managing this town meeting, I have asked Mike Ferrari and Nell Forkas to serve as assistant moderators. May I have a motion approving the appointment of Mike Ferrari and Nell Forkas as assistant moderators for the 2022 annual town meeting? Thank you. Is there a second? This requires a majority to pass. All in favor, please signify by raising your cards. Any opposed? This passes by majority. I would like to express my deepest gratitude to the dedicated town officials and staff who have kept our town running during these challenging times. In particular, I would like to acknowledge their flexibility and resilience in the planning and execution of this, with our first indoor town meeting since 2019. It took countless hours and logistics to pull off, and I will read through the name of the town staff, and I would ask that they just raise their hand when they're called. There is some town staff that is located in the black box right now. Town Clerk Beth Klein, Assistant Town Clerk Rose Miranda, Town Council Lee Smith, Lauren Goldberg, Town Manager Henry Hayes. From the Select Board, we have Jennifer Roberts, Chair, Charlie Russo, Vice Chair, Dan Carty, Janie Dretler, Bill Schneller, who I want to thank. This is his last town meeting as a Select Board member. From the Finance Committee, we have Eric Polk, Co-Chair, and Jean Nam, Co-Chair. Susan Berry, Andrew Bettinelli, Ronald Brumback, Blair Capel, Michael Joachim, Sony Parenti, Scott Smigler, Mark Thompson, Technology Administrator, Patty Golden, Senior Administrative Assistant to the Town Manager, Marianne Bilodeau, Assistant Town Manager, HR Director, Dennis Cahane, Finance Director, Cynthia Gary, Director of Assessing, Elaine Jones, Legal Assistant, Layla Frank, Information Officer, Adam DeKesnew, Director of Planning and Community Development, Beth Sudemeyer, Environmental Planner, Dennis Mamone, Park, Recreation, and Aquatic Director, Esme Green, Goodnow Library Director, Charles Flynn, Acting Combined Facilities Director, Andrew Lewis, Inspector of Buildings, Bill Murphy, Health Director, Lori Capone, Conservation Coordinator, Deb Galloway, Council on Aging Director, Dan Nason, DPW Director, Tim Choate, Assistant Fire Chief, Scott Nix, Police Chief, Brad Crozier, SPS Superintendent, Bella Wong, LSRHS Superintendent. I also want to thank the VSA Sudbury Scout Troop 6063 for your assistance with manning the microphones tonight. We have, there was one change to my list. Sammy Hauptman, Shane Hauptman, Gabrielle Parra, Oliver Veland, Charlie Moeller, and Oakley Dworkin. I also thank the VSA Sudbury Scout Troop 6063 for collecting non-perishable items for the Sudbury Care Pantry. Those scouts include Casey Tupta, Eben Perry, Sam Varner, Jack Clark, and their parent supervising them is Dee Tupta. I also give thanks to the Sudbury Girl Scouts who are selling refreshments with plans to support the World Central Kitchen's Chefs for Ukraine through a Take Action project. We have Girl Scout cadets from Troop 62882, Taylor Alterio, Troop 62503, Taylor Gardner and Anya Custer, Junior Girl Scouts from Troop 67543, Dylan Altero, Troop 82453, Allison Tupta, and Brownies from Troop 84131, Vega Custer, and Ishika Mula Del Rain, and Camila Perez. Finally, I'd like to thank Lynn Puro of Sudbury TV, who is indispensable in the planning and execution of this event. Many thanks to her crew, Cliff McGann, Terry Lockhart, Matt Cranson, and Jane Pasco. Thanks as well to the TV club students from LS, Ethan Perillo, Skylar Workin, Madeline Hoffman, and Elizabeth Levin. I now recognize Select Board Member Schneller for a resolution in memory of those citizens who have served the town and passed away during the preceding year.
Whereas the town of Sudbury has enjoyed the blessing of those in the community who gave up their time and talent to enrich the quality of life in our town, and whereas this past year has seen several of its citizens and employees who have rendered public service and civic duty pass from among us, now therefore be it resolved that the town of Sudbury extend its heartfelt sympathy to the families of these persons and recognize their service and dedication to the community. John Beeler, William C. Bradley, Joseph E. Brown, Mary Corley, Dr. Chester K. Delaney, Marguerite M. Farrell, Catherine T. Finelli, Jean M. Kane, Arlene Kassler, Neil Kaufman, Lorraine M. Knapp, Edward E. Kreitzik, Jean M. McKenzie, Anne C. McCarthy, Michael E. Melnick, Dylan Remley, Barbara Rockwell, Gretna Schubert, Lee Ford Swanson, Graham R. Taylor Jr., Mary Lou Thompson, Virginia Wales, and Sandra Walensky.
Thank you. I'd like to recognize Representative Carmen Gentile for some citations.
Thank you very much, Madam Moderator. Pleasure to be with you all this evening. So, town government relies on many, many, many volunteers. And without the more than hundreds of volunteers that we have, we wouldn't be the Sudbury that we are. So I would like to present a citation to Bill Schneller for your service to the town of Sudbury on the Board of Selectmen, not only on the Board of Selectmen, but you worked very hard with Protect Sudbury, and really, thank you so much. You're very welcome, Bill. Very welcome. So I'll read this citation. Be it hereby known that to all that the Massachusetts House of Representatives offers the sincerest congratulations to William Schneller, In recognition of your 3 years on the Board of Selectmen, Select Board, Sudbury Select Board,
there you go.
Correct myself, the entire membership extends its very best wishes and expresses the hope for future good fortune and continued success in all your endeavors, given the second day of May, 2022, by Ronald Mariano, Speaker of the House, and myself. Thank you. Thank you, Bill, for all your wonderful work.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you.
And we, you know, we have a wonderful schools in Sudbury, and to complement those schools, we have a great library, the Goodnow Library. We have two people that have served on the library, Alan Gordon for six years, and Beth Brown Whitlock for 3 years, and I'd like to present citations to each of you if you're here this evening. And I see Mr. Gordon. No? Yes? No? Okay, well. I also have a citation for Dr. Patricia Tobolowsky, who I've worked with for the past 6 years on the Council on Aging. And Pat, I'll make sure you get this. Moving right along, we have Charles Karustis from the Planning Board. No, and are you with us tonight? No? Okay, all right. I served on the Planning Board 9 years. It's a lot of good work, and it's indispensable. So thank you for your service. Now I'm thinking, I don't know if I've seen Maggie Helen here tonight. Are you here, Maggie? No? Well, Margaret Helen served 3 years on the Sudbury School Committee. We're really thankful for your service to the town. I'll make sure you get that. But I do know that the longest serving person who's retiring tonight, who served 12 years on our Park and Recreation Commission, and yes, you will live to see the Bruce Freeman built. And that would be Dick Williamson.
In order to expedite town meeting and save valuable time for discussion of key issues, Sudbury utilizes a consent calendar to facilitate passage of certain articles that appear to raise no controversy. This year, the consent calendar contains 15 articles. As stated in the warrant, the consent calendar is the first order of business at the beginning of annual town meeting. This means that we are taking those 15 articles out of order. In order to take any article out of order, a 4/5 vote is required. May I please have a motion that the consent calendar, being Articles 10, 11, 12, 17, 28, 36, 37, 38, 41, 50, 52, 53, 54, 55, and 56, be moved as set forth in the list on page 3 of the warrant booklet for the Monday, May 2nd, 2022 annual town meeting. Is there a second? This requires a 4/5 vote to pass. I understand that there are now voters in the Rogers Theater, so I will be checking in with the moderators there. So everyone in both rooms, please raise your card if you are in favor of moving the consent calendar. Thank you. Anyone opposed? Thank you. Mike, how was the vote in there? Thank you. Between the two locations, this motion passes by well more than majority. By more than 4/5. Thank you. Town tradition has been that a single voter could ask that an article be held from the consent calendar and it would be done. Prior to the 2020 annual town meeting, a single voter could request that an article be withheld from the consent calendar. Due to COVID and the desire for greater efficiency at town meeting, generally, we now require a majority vote to hold an article from the consent calendar. The quantum of vote required to pass the consent calendar will be the strictest quantum of vote required by any individual article on it, which, based on the 15 articles, is a majority. I will now read through the list of articles on the consent calendar. If you wish to seek a vote to hold an article, please raise your card when I get to it. We will then hold a vote to determine whether that article will be pulled from the consent calendar. If you would like to ask a clarifying question about an article, please raise your card and indicate that so I can address your question. I will now read the list of articles on the consent calendar. Mike, just let me know if anybody in there raises their hand as I go through this. Article 10, Chapter 90, Highway Funding. Article 11, FY23 Stabilization Fund. Article 12, FY23 Revolving Fund Spending Limits. Article 28, Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School Chain Link Fence Replacement. Article 17, 24 Hudson Road Release of Easement. Article 28, Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School Chain Link Fence Replacement. Article 36, Backhoe Loader. Article 37, Six-Wheel Combo Body Dump Truck with Plow. Article 38, Skid Steer. Article 41, Roadside Mower. Article 50, Community Preservation Act Fund, Libby Dixon Conservation Restriction Monitoring. Article 52, Community Preservation Act Fund, Regional Housing Services Office, RHSO Membership Fee. Article 53, Community Preservation Act Fund, Sudbury Housing Authority Acquisition, Creation, Preservation, and Support of Affordable Rental Housing. Article 54, Community Preservation Act Fund, Town Clock Restoration. Article 55, Community Preservation Act Fund, Return of Unspent Funds. Article 56, Community Preservation Fund, General Budget and Appropriations. Anything in the black box? I will now entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar articles as printed in the warrant. Is there a second? The quantum of vote on this is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Anyone opposed? Black box. Thank you. This passes by more than a majority. Moving on to Article 1. For many years, it has been our tradition at annual town meeting to honor someone who has performed valuable service to the town by asking them to make a motion under Article 1 of the warrant. This year, we honor Robert May, a Sudbury resident since 1980. Mr. May was a member on the Council of Aging from 2009 to 2021 and a member of the Master Plan Steering Committee from 2019 to 2021. Mr. May, would you please come forward to the podium in front? Could I please have... Go ahead.
Good evening, Madam Moderator, the Select Board, and citizens of Sudbury. I am Bob May, 98 Maynard Farm Road, and I have the honor tonight of opening this portion of the 2022 Sudbury Annual Town Meeting, where each article is read and motions acted upon. I will read Article 1. Before reading Article 1, please allow me to deviate for a minute. I have been given this honor as a reflection of my volunteerism in support of several projects and activities within the town over several years. I am proud and humbled by this recognition, but feel this honor and recognition must be shared with all the volunteers, past, present, and future. Volunteers, who are we at the town? Those on the dais before you. Those of the boards, commissions, committees, and trusts, of which our website says there are 50. Not 50 volunteers, but 50 organizations. Those delivering medical transport, meals, home repairs to shut-ins. Those doing database development where needed. Those helping in schools and the library. And those providing stewardship overview of the town's processes. All of these have given their time and talents tirelessly to continue the traditions of Sudbury. Provide for many services to all our citizens, deliver a strong sense of stewardship, and to foster even greater outcomes for the town. In recognition of these citizen volunteers, I ask you to join me in a short round of applause for all of them. Thank you very much. So, Article 1. Hear reports, to see if the town will vote to hear, consider, and accept the reports of the town boards, commissions, officers, and committees as printed in the 2021 town report or as otherwise presented, or act on anything relative thereto. Is there? We heard the motion.
Mr. May, can you put that in the form of a motion, and if you have to look up at the screen behind you, could read off of that?
Got it. Yeah.
Thank you.
To move to accept the reports of the town boards, commissions, officers, and committees as printed in the 2021 town report, or as otherwise presented, subject to the correction of errors, if any, where found.
Thank you. Is there a second? Thank you. Does the Select Board have a report?
The Select Board. Okay, let's try that again. The Select Board supports Article 1.
Thank you. Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 1? The quantum of vote required for passage is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Anyone opposed? Black box. Thank you. That passes unanimously. Thank you again, Mr. May, for your service to Sudbury. Before we begin consideration of the substantive articles of the warrant, I'd like to take a moment to review some basic procedural issues. For more detail, please refer to your warrant starting on page Roman numeral 1. Every matter that is voted on at town meeting must come in the form of a motion. The warrant articles themselves are not self-starting, but a motion may be made to move in the words of the article. Unless a presenter moves in the words of the article exactly as it is printed in the warrant, they must explain to the meeting the changes in the motion. All motions to amend must be delivered to me, to the town clerk, and to Mr. Thompson, the technology administrator, in writing before they are made. If you wish to speak and you are in the main auditorium, please raise your hand and wait to be recognized. A scout will bring a microphone to your row and it will be passed to you. If you wish to speak and you are in the Rogers Theater, please make your way to the standing microphone and wait to be recognized. Only registered voters of Sudbury, non-resident Sudbury employees, or elected state officials may speak without permission of the meeting. Every time you address the meeting, you must begin by slowly and clearly stating your name and address. All remarks and questions should be addressed to me, and then, if appropriate, I will recognize town staff or officials to answer your question. According to our bylaws, presenters of articles may speak for a maximum of 10 minutes, and all other speakers for a maximum of 5 minutes, unless additional time is granted by the meeting. Many presenters pre-recorded their presentations. Hopefully, you had a chance to review them before coming here today, as the majority of them will not be played here. I have asked Layla Frank to monitor the timing of those speaking today. Some notes on voting. I will remind you of the requisite quantum before each vote and then ask all present to signify their votes in favor or against a motion by raising your cards. I will then count the vote in the main auditorium, and my assistant moderators will count the vote in the Rogers Theater. The assistant moderators will relay the result in the Rogers Theater, and I will announce the total results by taking into consideration both rooms. If a vote is too close for me or the assistant moderators to call, I will call for a counted vote. Given the substantial amount of time it takes to do a count in this manner and the fact that we are spread out between two rooms, I would ask that you not request such a procedure unless you are certain that the assistant moderators and I have miscalculated the vote. I assure you that unless the show of hands is obvious, the assistant moderators and I will call for a counted vote. Lastly, a brief word about decorum. A healthy respect for both sides of an argument is essential if we are to achieve our goal of acting in the best interest of our town. I ask that you treat each speaker today with courtesy and respect, no matter how strongly you may disagree. To that end, I will not allow any clapping, hissing, booing, or other audible noise at any point during the meeting. It is within my powers as moderator to terminate the right to speak of anyone who makes disrespectful comments, whether directed at a voter, speaker, or town official. I would also ask that everyone keep their remarks as brief as possible, as we have many articles to get through. At this time, I now recognize the chair of the Select Board, Jennifer Roberts, for a State of the Town address. Please note that for this address, as well as the Finance Committee's State of the Budget presentation, there will be no set time limit. Thank you. Ms. Roberts?
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Welcome to the 2022 Sudbury Annual Town Meeting. My name is Jennifer Roberts, and I serve as Chair of the Sudbury Select Board. I'm honored to provide this year's State of the Town address. When I reflected upon a theme for this address, I sought to think of a word that embodied Sudbury throughout the past year. The word that came to my mind was resiliency. Resiliency is defined as the ability of a system, organization, or individual to recover readily from a crisis or disruptive process. One of my favorite pastimes is running. To me, it is invigorating and meditative. It can also be hard. To those who are runners or anyone else who does activities that require endurance, you know the feeling of having to dig deep within you to keep moving forward despite the physical and mental fatigue. Famous distance runner Lynn Jennings has said, "Mental will is a muscle that needs exercise, just like the muscles of the body." To me, resiliency means the ability to move forward, make progress, advance goals despite the challenges before us. I believe Sudbury has shown great resiliency this past year, and I'm proud of this community. The COVID-19 pandemic has been difficult and disruptive for Sudbury, like communities everywhere. We may have lost loved ones or friends, or seen others struggle with illness. For this, I offer my deepest sympathies. Others may have faced unemployment or economic insecurity. Families have struggled to balance raising children and work with COVID restrictions and changes. Older members and high-risk individuals of our communities have needed to take extra precautions against the virus that can most severely affect them. Our commercial sector has been challenged to keep doors open and sustain business at a time when many residents have been inclined to stay home. I have been heartened to see the resiliency and the measures that the community has taken to protect itself and also to continue to move forward. Throughout much of the pandemic, many town staff members worked virtually, leveraging a virtual town hall for residents to conduct vital town services electronically. Our town health department and Board of Health worked countless hours to help residents educate, track the changing virus, and make careful decisions to protect us. While many work from the relative safety of their homes, our public safety departments continue to bravely work in person on the front lines to keep our community healthy and safe. In the past 2 years, Sudbury held two outdoor town meetings and was able to safely accomplish the business and key goals of the town. Town committees, commissions, and boards have continued to meet through virtual Zoom meetings, advancing day-to-day work and initiatives, many of which we will learn about this evening. Sudbury TV has been phenomenal at pivoting to meet the changing needs, helping to manage and record countless meetings and events to be viewed both live and later online. During a time when we were seeing each other less in town government, we managed to stay connected, productive, and encourage participation from our residents. The town senior center continued to support the older members of our community through outdoor events, virtual and hybrid programming, meal delivery, and more recently, a return to some indoor events. Our Park and Rec Commission department continued to run the Atkinson Pool, held the Sudbury Summer Camp and toddler programming, and offered new virtual programming options. Camp Suataro ran its summer camp, and the property manager oversaw the use of the property for a number of community organizations and individual residents. Our school administration, teachers, and students have shown incredible resiliency in the past 2 years. While managing social distancing, masking, COVID-19 testing, and more, they still focused on learning, supporting each other socially and emotionally, and having some fun. Our businesses were adaptable, offering new ways to do business through delivery, curbside service, and outdoor dining. The town of Sudbury has remained financially resilient throughout the pandemic. This year, a level service budget is being brought forward without the need for an override. Free cash is strong, allowing us to fund key capital projects. We have maintained our general stabilization and capital stabilization funds. Another part of resiliency is climate resiliency. In the face of climate change and warnings and calls to action from scientists all around the globe, Sudbury is stepping up to this daunting challenge. This year, the Select Board identified climate change and sustainability initiatives as a top 6 goal, and I look forward to progress in this area. Later this town meeting, we will hear about a citizen petition article to declare a climate emergency, develop a climate action plan, and hire a dedicated staff resource. Being resilient does not mean you do not need help. You may feel tired, drained, or mentally unwell. Our town social worker and organizations such as Hope Sudbury and the Sudbury Food Pantry have worked extra hard to address the needs of residents who are facing challenges brought on or exacerbated by the pandemic. State and federal funding sources such as the CARES Act and American Rescue Plan Act are able to assist in offsetting one-time or short-term needs in our community. The Select Board has been able to allocate over $2 million in American Rescue Plan Act funds, otherwise known as ARPA, for needs at the schools, our health department, fire department, and toward key projects that were impacted by the pandemic. ARPA funds will continue to be allocated for critical needs. Residents have also organized gift card drives to help our businesses during the peak of the pandemic when business was slow. Despite the ongoing challenges of the changing pandemic, our community did not stand still. We did not become frozen. We did not refuse to make progress. The business of this evening's town meeting illustrates how much work has been done and how much opportunity lies ahead of us. Town staff, consultants, and committees have continued to advance the Bruce Freeman Rail Trail. In fact, this evening we will see 4 articles which will make this community amenity a reality. This is at a time when many of us have rediscovered the joy of safe and healthy outdoor recreation during the pandemic. The Fairbank Community Center is advancing, and the team working on this project has shown immense resiliency. The project has been in the adept hands of our Permanent Building Committee consultants and staff. This evening, we will consider three articles throughout this evening, throughout the town meeting, we will consider three articles that will contribute to that project. Despite construction industry cost inflation, the project team has done an excellent job mitigating most of the impacts, showing flexibility and resourcefulness, and designing a community center which will increase the quality of life across demographics. This annual town meeting, we will have an article to continue to fund our Go Sudbury and Uber transportation programs to offer transportation options to the most vulnerable in our community. We will vote a number of Community Preservation Act initiatives to continue to protect and enhance historic and open space assets and to support affordable housing inventory. The Select Board recently renegotiated a new contract with the Sewer Tower property manager, increasing revenues, public access, and site enhancements for the town. Parallel to this, we are bringing forward an article to fund and initiate a longer-term use study of this property, which will allow us to optimize this property for the future. The town master plan was completed, and a path forward was formulated to begin implementation of recommendations and key actions for the future. This will serve as our roadmap to help us move forward, continue to grow as a community, and to enhance our resiliency. I want to thank everyone in Sudbury for your resiliency during this challenging time. Thank you to town staff, particularly the town manager, our health department, public safety departments, and all others who have continued to put one foot ahead of another for the operations of this town. Thank you to all boards, committees, and commissions who have advanced the town's business, key projects, and new innovative ideas. You have dedicated your time when many of us struggle to balance the heightened demands brought on by the pandemic. Thank you to our businesses who continue to open your doors, be resourceful, and for offering vital services to our community. To the residents, thank you for your strength and for supporting each other in times of need. Thank you for adhering to public health measures so your friends, neighbors, and you can be safe. This evening's annual town meeting is a return to what I would call modified normal. We are back indoors at the Lincoln Sudbury Auditorium and overflow rooms. We have a full slate of articles to hear and consider as a community. However, we are still taking precautions and seeking to be as safe as possible while moving the business of the town forward. Thank you to the town moderator, town manager, other staff and volunteers, including BSA Troop 6063, that are putting in countless hours to make this town meeting possible. It is my hope that the challenges of the past couple years have brought us perspective about what is important, that despite us sometimes having different viewpoints or ideas, we know that the health and the quality of life of our community is the priority, that despite our differences, we will still help and care for each other during times of crisis and need. The future of Sudbury is hopeful. We all cautiously watch as the COVID-19 pandemic continues to evolve and hopefully wane. The town of Sudbury is financially on solid ground. We have many key projects and initiatives that we can look forward to advancing before our very eyes. Our children are getting back to normal at school, in their activities, and in play. Our adult community members are emerging from relative isolation, gathering again, socializing, and enjoying the amazing amenities and services our community offers. Our town staff are working in the office, meeting with us again in person, and moving the business of the town forward. I look forward to embarking on the adventure that is town meeting, where we get to exercise our rights to direct democracy. I look forward to the discussion, sharing, learning, voting, and discovering the will of the town. I want to thank you for joining, for bringing engaged and open minds, and most of all, for being resilient. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to Article 2, FY22 Budget Adjustments. Motion by Chair Roberts.
Article 2.
Does the Select Board have a report on this?
The Select Board supports the move to indefinitely postpone.
Does FinCom have a report on this?
FinCom approves indefinite postponement.
And is there a second on that motion? Thank you. Any discussion? Any discussion in the black box? The quantum of vote required for passage is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Thank you. Anyone opposed? Black box? Thank you. That passes unanimously. Article 3, FY23 budget. A few notes on procedure. We will begin with a so-called limiting motion from the Finance Committee that proposes an appropriation not to exceed the amount required to fund the proposed budget. The limiting motion, if passed, will then establish the upper limit of the budget. A vote in favor of the motion does not mean that town meeting has approved the particular distributions as set forth in the warrant, but rather establishes only the upper limit of the town's budget appropriation for fiscal year 2023. Once we dispose of the limiting motion, the Finance Committee will make a main motion on the budget. At that time, I will read line by line the items in the main motion. Absent a motion to reconsider the limiting motion, a voter can only make a motion to amend, to reduce a line item, or to increase one item and decrease another so that the total amount appropriated does not exceed the amount established by the limiting motion. In other words, it would be out of order to make a motion to increase a line item alone if that increase would cause the main budget figure to exceed the amount set by the limiting motion without first moving for reconsideration of the limiting motion. I now recognize Eric Polk, co-chair of the Finance Committee, for the budget limiting motion. Mr. Polk?
The amount appropriated under the fiscal year 2023 budget not exceed the sum of $109,966,439.
Does that receive a second? It does. I will now ask Mr. Polk to deliver the Finance Committee's statement of the town's financial condition. Mr. Polk?
Committee. FinCom's mission is to make objective and concise recommendations to town meeting on the annual budget and other finance-related warrant articles. FinCom process reviews and considers any matters that may have a long or short-term fiscal impact on the town and gathers relevant and accurate information for evaluation, debate, and the formulation of a recommendation. FinCom is a 9-member volunteer committee appointed by the town moderator, and our mission is to make objective and concise recommendations on the annual town budget and other finance-related articles. Finance Committee approves by a vote of 8-0, recommends the approval, rather, of Article 3, the FY23 budget, by a vote of 8-0.
Thank you. I will now recognize the representatives of each of the cost centers to explain their positions on the budget. Town Manager Henry Hayes will speak for the town, Superintendent Brad Crozier for Sudbury Public Schools, and Superintendent Bella Wong for Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School. As you may know, Article 2, Section 11 of the bylaw provides that the initial presentation of the proponents of an article may not exceed 10 minutes in length unless consent is given by the majority of town meeting. In the past, town meeting has recognized the inherent difficulties of having three cost centers present within 10 minutes and has authorized each administrator to speak for 5 minutes for a total presentation of 15 minutes. I would entertain such a motion now if someone wishes to make it. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you.
It's on. As you can see, this slide shows revenue growth year over year with 3.4% increase in real estate and personal property taxes, approximately 1.8% in state aid, and 9.8% in local receipts. This is very similar to other recent year increases that we've seen. The next slide shows the overview of the FY23 budget. It shows the allocation of the approximately $110 million, which is an increase of about 2.7% over FY22, and well within the no override limit of Prop 2.5. As you can see from this chart, more than two-thirds of the budget goes to education expenses when you consider the employee benefit line items for both SPS and LS. SPS and Sudbury's contributions to the LS budget grew by 2.9% and 3.0% respectively. Across all departments, personnel costs, including salaries and benefits, are a major contributor to the budget increases year over year. Next slide. This slide shows increases in individual areas year over year. It gives a comparative of the FY22 changes to the FY23 changes. Most notably, you'll see a decrease in the debt service, which is a temporary change that I'll elaborate on a little bit more in a second. Next slide. In FS19 of the warrant, you'll see details of the by-project breakdown on annual debt service. This shows that the total payment in annual debt service for the next year will decrease year over year, but when articles that have been passed at prior town meetings, such as Fairbank Community Center, Fire Station Number 2, and several others, are added to the debt payments beginning in fiscal 24, we will see an increase of a fairly significant amount in our annual debt payment. Next slide. The slide shows the impact of budget approval. If the FY23 budget is approved here tonight, you'll see in the column fourth from the left with the arrow what the incremental impact of if all articles are passed tonight will be to our budget, $378 per the average property value of $801,000 for the operating budget. That impact is $378. The debt exclusion will reduce by $24, and the capital is negligible of impact. Next slide, please. Some of the highlights from this year's town budgeting process. The last 2 years were hampered by COVID impact and its impact on all the town staff. And we recognize that the effort by our staff and volunteer committees has been significant over the last couple of years to try and keep things moving forward. And we certainly appreciate the diligence and extra effort that all have put into creating our process. You can scroll through some of those, Mark. In particular, some of the highlights from the town budget process this year was the town manager's capital budget being brought back into the levy. Funding for general maintenance in town school buildings and grounds was moved back into the town manager's capital budget, was moved out of the capital budget, rather, into a combined facilities operating budget. Long-term capital planning by the Department of Public Works has continued to be proactive in anticipating our needs. And updates to the Select Board's financial policies were completed this year. In the SPS budget, we saw a grant pursued to help fund the SMILE program and mitigate costs. They were able to absorb a large increase in busing. Contingency plans exist in case funds are needed for COVID-19 mitigation for FY23 still, and proactive improvement in their long-term capital planning process. Next slide. Budget highlights on the LS budget include the ability to absorb a similarly large busing increase, strong capital planning and management, initiative to develop an in-house program for autism spectrum disorder students, keeping students in district and avoiding potentially more expensive out-of-district placements. adding another year of Mandarin, making that a four-year program, and returning to more standard OPEB contributions after a slight hiatus last year. Next slide. Budget concerns. Several departments have made requests in the town for additional personnel that were unable to be funded. More detailed financial forecasting and planning is a focus that we should continue to look forward to in the future to avoid costs. For SPS, while ARPA funds and one-time sources did come in, there are several support positions that were granted. There's concern that a need for these positions might extend beyond the 2 years that are funded, requiring full-term funding in the budget. And there's also a need for clarity in use of budget funds freed up by allocation of circuit breaker funds to eligible items in the operating budget. On the LS side, the use of transportation revolving funds to mitigate a large increase in the busing expectation. The increased reimbursement will be made available in future years. It's not certain whether we can rely on those expected increases. And as of the writing of this, the health insurance increase is not yet known. Industry standard is approximately 8% and used for budgeting. In other area, the ARPA money that was allocated this year and another large chunk that will be allocated next year, the FinCom suggests the Select Board seek FinCom and CIAC for capital input in aligning those allocations with existing policies, including prioritization and planning requirements. That's it on the main budget.
Town clerk brought to my attention.
Hello. Town clerk brought to my attention that I invite Town Manager Hayes to the podium to answer whether there had been, or to explain whether there had been any changes in the budget since the warrant was printed.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Henry Hayes, Town Manager. So there have been, since the time of the warrant being printed and distributed, there have been no changes.
Thank you. Now, as I was mentioning earlier before, we have the issue of presenters and time. And so in the past, we have voted to permit each of the cost centers to have 5 minutes for a total presentation of 15. And I would entertain any such motion at this time if anyone wishes to make it. Thank you. Is there a second? Thank you. This requires a majority to pass. All in favor, please raise your cards. Thank you. Anyone opposed? Black box? Thank you. That passes unanimously. So at this point, I will recognize Town Manager Hayes.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Henry Hayes, Town Manager. I'll start with saying that our professional staff has worked hard to develop a conservative budget to maintain services while being thoughtful of the taxpayers. We diligently worked with the following objectives in mind. We developed a 2023 budget that is within the limits of Prop 2.5, maintain a level service budget while identifying opportunities for improvements through efficiencies, maintain employee compensation and plan for the future, continue to aggressively manage employee benefits, both short-term and long-term, establish and fund a capital program that recognizes that the needs of the community while respecting the fiscal constraints, and develop a budget document with the recommended guidelines and procedures set forth by the Government Finance Officers Association, GFOA, and in conformance with the town manager's goals. Based on these goals and keeping in mind our revenues and fixed costs, the town's budget was created collaboratively with the three cost centers and the assistance of the team and teamwork of our town department heads, reflecting the functional needs and institutional values. I greatly appreciate the department heads, as well as Brad Crozier and Bella Wong, the superintendents. This budget, as presented, will allow us to collectively sustain a safe, secure service and strong Sudbury. Special shout out to Dennis Cohane, to our Marianne Bilodeau, and Bill Barletta in his absence. So the budget. You'll see on the screen that this is the ninth year in a row that we have received the annual comprehensive financial report recognition for that. All right, and so we start our budgeting process by looking at the revenues, anticipated revenues by way of forecasting. You'll see that the bottom line for FY23 recommended is $111,002,713. That is a different number than you just heard the Finance Committee say, but you will see why, because on top of the operating budget, you will see the town manager's capital operating budget, which is inside the levy. So if you were to look at page 2 of your warrant, you would see the anticipated expenditures and the town manager's budget that is associated with operations, and so that would be on the next slide. So you'll see that we have education, both the Sudbury Public School, the Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School, vocational ed, general government, public safety, public works, human services, and recreation. That total of those items within the town departments equals $91,756,965. And then you add on the reserve fund, the townwide operating transfers, the town debt service, employee benefits, OPEB, and OPEB trust contribution. You'll see that that takes us to the $109,966,439 that you heard the Finance Committee say, and that is on your page 2 of the warrant. Continuing on, you'll see that our revenues and our expenditures are side by side here in this image. And next, you'll see the change in the LS assessment. And so the LS assessment is based on the three-year headcount, and then is split between Sudbury and Lincoln. Our assessment for this year is 87.5. It is a reduction from 87.85%. of last year, or actually current fiscal year. So in the budget, you'll see that there's no reduction in the headcount in this budget, as well as many new initiatives could not be funded or fulfilled. We'll discuss these with to a degree as we move forward. This budget is within the tax levy, and no additional personnel from the tax levy. You'll see that I'll mention an add, but it's not from the totally from the tax levy. So sound financial management and principles got us to a level service budget. So the overall request that you'll see, and so you'll see on this slide that there were several things that were requested, added, and changed. You'll see that there is in planning, there's a full-time employee that is provided as a result of the CPC and the housing trust. You'll also see over under combined facilities, you'll see that there's two items listed there, town and SPS items regarding maintenance. That's as a result of the DLS report that we received in April of 2020. We're aligning with that principle and bringing those things not from the free cash or from the capital, but bringing them inside that that budget line. So you'll also see that the employee benefits are listed there on the next slide. You'll see that our debt on the following slide is a decrease of $193,000+. And you'll see on the next slide is our headcount is 181 from the tax levy, keeping in mind that we have the one that's funded by those other two sources combined. This, in totality, will allow us to sustain a safe, secure service and strong Sudbury. I yield.
Thank you. At this time, I recognize Superintendent Crozier.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. I would like to begin by thanking the staff, parents, and community for supporting the district this year. The full return of students has been proven to be the best learning model, and this FY23 budget reflects students in school as we have traditionally known. The school committee voted on December 20th, 2021, to approve the FY23 school operating budget request of $41,849,664 to educate 2,447 students. This budget meets the town manager's budget guidance and represents an increase of 3% over the FY22 appropriation. That is a $1,218,922 increase. Sudbury has received additional funding, as you've heard from several speakers tonight, through COVID-related expense grants, the CARES Act, ESSER grant, ARPA funding, and other state sources. These funds have enabled SBS to address health and safety concerns, support student learning, and address the mental health concerns we've seen through the pandemic. Again, this year, we have created a line item to provide additional supports to students that have been impacted by the pandemic. The budget supports the district goals, the communities, and the community's commitment to a high-quality education for the children of Sudbury. For town meeting purposes, I want to focus the presentation on the budget, given the five-minute limit. However, my prior presentations to committees and community groups have included a deeper dive into the vision and goals for the schools. The FY23 school budget was developed by the school administration using a zero-based budget methodology and reflects careful and thoughtful balancing of the district's priorities, the students' needs, and while respecting the town's fiscal realities. The administration worked together with their building staff to identify spending priorities and, in some cases, reallocating those funds to higher priorities. The base budget is level service and accounts for emerging student needs, transportation increases, and a technology replacement cycle. In addition, we have identified priority items for future funding. This slide shows the per pupil cost compared to other districts that the school committee has identified as peer comparisons. Sudbury is represented on this slide in orange and is the fourth lowest spending when compared to these peer districts. One of the major budget drivers for schools is enrollment. We constantly track our enrollment and use several models for determining student enrollment projections, including using a third-party expert. For the 22-23 school year, we are projecting 2,447 students, which is 13 fewer than this school year. In summary, the school department asked for the approval of its recommended budget as we believe it is a reasonable and an appropriate request in order to fund the Sudbury Public Schools. We believe it will provide an excellent education to all students, support families, and be an asset to the community. We believe, I thank you to the administration, the staff, the parents, and the students of Sudbury for your thoughtfulness and hard work this year. And I again thank the Sudbury taxpayers and the community for their support in our ongoing educational efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. I now recognize Superintendent Wong.
May I ask, am I forwarding the slides or you are? So this goes forward. Nope. Okay. Thank you. I am Bella Wong, Superintendent Principal for Lincoln Sudbury. It's my privilege to present the LS proposal for the FY23 budget. So our budget supports our aspirational goals, our core values. It supports the educational program that fosters student growth for postgraduate success and anticipates the comprehensive needs of our projected student enrollment and, of course, to retain and recruit high-quality staff. We are entering our third year of the strategic plan, so I invite you to come to our website and check that out. And This is a visual that shows our aspirational goals for our students, and hopefully by the time they leave LS, they understand their place in the world and also how they can make a difference in that. Our enrollment projection, we are projecting a decline in enrollment. We have about 1,500 students now, with a gradual decrease over the next 5 years. And so this budget maintains all our staffing, but we're also taking advantage of natural attrition over time of staff retirements or people choosing not to return. Our median class size for the current year is on the far right, ranges from 25 to 20, the median class size. And so there is some room to maintain staffing to protect that median. We are proud to present a budget that is within guidance, and we appreciate the support from our towns of Lincoln and Sudbury for that, $35,910,735. We're also really excited that while we're meeting guidance, we are able to incorporate program improvements for next year. We are welcoming students into our new Autism Spectrum Disorder Program, which is an extension of what we have in Sudbury Public Schools, and I thank Sudbury Public Schools for their support of that launch at the high school. Increased staffing to LS Academy for our intensive social emotional needs students, and then 0.75 increase to our computer science to fulfill a digital learning standards update. Starting with the incoming ninth grade class next year, there will be increased computer science requirements for graduation. Adding one more section for Mandarin so that we'll be able to offer 4 years of language study for Mandarin. And with that information, we had a boost in enrollment for our Mandarin language programs. We're excited by that. And then a new 1.0 reading specialist to support both general ed and special ed students in the next year. These are our financial assumptions. I'm just going to highlight that we did negotiate a new contract that will start next year for 3 years with an increase of 3%, 2%, and 2%. Our health insurance is budgeted at 8% for the next year. We did have a significant increase to our regular bus transportation, and as in the advisory presentation earlier, we are subsidizing some of that increased cost with a revolving account for transportation, probably for next year and the year next. Because we're a regional school district, we receive reimbursement from the state for our regional transportation. So we think in 2 years that reimbursement will catch up with the increase that we're experiencing for the next 2 years. Our OPEB liability, actually in March 31st, the last valuation is just under $3 million. So actually in the last year through the pandemic, the investment funds did very well. And so we're looking forward to more growth in that for the next year. I do want to note that we have a decrease in our out-of-district tuition line, which is partly why we're able to fund these improvements to program. And to the next slide. And so this is our tuition line so that you can see if you scan from 2018 to 2023 that there is a decrease in that tuition line and overall negative 7.1%. So again, it's the savings in the tuition line that enabled us to implement program improvements. And then this is our budget chart as a whole. And the big increases are contractual services, 13.34%. That's the bus transportation. It says 53.24% increase for OPEB liability, but actually that's we're just restoring our contribution from 250 to 383, and negative number for our out-of-district tuition. So overall increase in our budget of 3%, which is contributed to by the towns of Lincoln and Sudbury. So this is our assessment, and as highlighted earlier, the apportionment shifted toward Lincoln slightly from Sudbury, and then a chart. Final chart of our assessments, and you can see Lincoln and Sudbury toward the end, the total amounts and the contribution to our operating budget.
Your 5 minutes is up. Are you almost done?
I'm good. The next one is just the capital, which I know that Town Manager Hayes will be presenting later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does the Select Board wish to be heard on the limiting motion?
The Select Board supports.
Thank you. Does anyone wish to be heard on the limiting motion? Anyone in the black box? A majority vote is required for the limiting motion. All in favor, please raise your cards. Thank you. Anyone opposed, please raise. Black box. Thank you. That passes by more than a majority. Having established the upper limits of the budget, I will now ask Mr. Polk to make a motion regarding the proposed expenditures. Mr. Polk?
Move that the town appropriate the sum of money set forth in column FY23 recommended for fiscal year 2023 as printed in the warrant. Said sums to be raised by taxation. Except that the following items to be raised and designated by transfer from available fund balances and interfund transfers. To transfer from ambulance reserves for appropriation account to item 200, public safety $660,000, to authorize the town manager to transfer within the FY23 budget $1,431,156 from item 900, employee benefits town and SPS, and $650,000 from line item 1000, OPEB trust contribution town and SPS to the OPEB trust established to meet expenses for post-employment health and life insurance benefits for eligible retirees and to expand such funds for that purpose, and to authorize multi-year contracts in excess of 3 years, either by renewal, extension, or purchase options in accordance with the provisions of Mass General Law Chapter 30B, Section 12, upon determination by the Chief Procurement Officer to be the most advantageous option.
Thank you. Does that receive a second? It does. Does the Finance Committee wish to be heard on the main motion under Article 3?
Nothing additional.
Thank you. Does the Select Board wish to be heard on the main motion under Article 3?
The Select Board supports the main motion.
Thank you. I will now read each line of the proposed budget and ask if anyone has a motion to amend. Remember, because town meeting has enacted the limiting motion, any motion to increase a line item must include a provision to decrease another line item in the same amount unless a voter first makes a motion to reconsider the limiting motion. 300, education, Sudbury Public Schools. 300, education, LS Regional High School. Ms. Brown? Can somebody please bring her a microphone? Thank you.
Pat Brown, 34 Whispering Pine Road. I move to increase education, LS Regional High School, by $550,000 by decreasing education vocational by $550,000.
Does that receive a second? It does. Would you like to explain your request?
My understanding is that the LS regional agreement makes the LS high school responsible for vocational education, and so it seems to me wrong that they would be asked to undertake that responsibility without giving them the funding to discharge it.
Does anybody wish to be heard on this? Ms. Wong, do you have anything that you would like to add?
This is an interpretation of the regional agreement, which I know that the school committee is actually been discussing to have on their agenda to revisit. So I'm really not prepared to defend what the regional agreement stands for or doesn't stand for, but I think maybe it might be premature, with all due respect, until the school committee has further discussed the regional agreement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anybody else wish to be heard on the motion to amend line item 300, Education LS Regional High School? Anyone in the black box? Thank you. So that will require a majority. All in favor of the motion to amend, please raise their cards. Anyone opposed, please raise your card. Thank you. Black box. Thank you. That motion to amend does not pass. There were more in favor of voting against that. I will move on to line 100, general government. I'm sorry, line 300, education, vocational. Line 100, general government. Line 200, public safety. Line 400, public works. Line 500, human services. Line 600, culture and recreation. Line 800, reserve fund. Line 800, townwide operating and transfers. Line 700, town debt service. Line 900, employee benefits, town and SPS. Line 1,000, OPED trust contribution, town and SPS. Does anyone wish to be heard on the main motion under Article 3? Anyone in the black box? This requires a majority vote. All in favor, please raise your cards. Thank you. All opposed? Black box. Thank you. The main motion under Article 3 passes unanimously. Article 4, FY23 capital budget. Motion by Chair Roberts.
Design and renovation to buildings, including equipping of the vehicles and all incidental and related expenses for projects, and to authorize the town manager to allocate funds as needed between the underlying departments as shown in the following chart. FY23 capital budget, Article 4. This is the FY23 capital operating budget. Sudbury Public Schools, $350,000. LS Regional High School, $113,429. Information sessions, $50,000. Town clerk and registrars, $22,845. Police, $45,000. Fire, $110,000. Public Works, $180,000. Parks and Grounds, $85,000. Combined Facilities, $80,000, for a total of $1,036,274.
Thank you. Is there a second? There is. Town Manager Henry Hayes for presentation.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Henry Hayes, Town Manager. So this $1 million plus, this $1,036,274 represents our... Oops. My bad. I'm just going to set that there. Represents the capital. Okay. Mental note, don't touch the remote again. All right, so ultimately, you've seen the numbers associated with the departments and or schools. You'll see also that we have developed and recommended by the staff across the three cost centers. The items on the town manager's capital operating budget are less than $100,000 in 1 year or less than $200,000 over multiple years. Items over $100,000 are submitted as independent articles. So you'll see on the next slide that the Capital Improvement Advisory Committee will review items that have the relative costs associated with the bylaws, meaning over the $100,000 in a single year and over $200,000 in multiple years. Next slide, please. You'll see that the funding sources could be tax levy, free cash, one-time sources such as grants and gifts, overlay surplus, stabilization funds, capital exclusion, and debt. This chart here shows the things that you just heard from the chair, and I will walk through really quickly the items independently. The next slide shows the independent list in totality, and you'll see, starting with the next slide, you'll see the voting handset just under $23,000. That'll get us 800 handsets. Next slide will be the fire thermal imaging cameras, $50,000. That'll help our team to be able to operate and to move with confidence in a obscure environment that to be able to find victims and or others that they need to see with their thermal imaging. The next slide is the fire station roof replacement. $80,000, the last time the roof was replaced in 1980, and the measure of leaks and the patchwork is insufficient to continue. It's time for a new roof. The next slide will be schools' ceiling tiles replacement, $45,000 across all five schools. There's a large number of square feet of space, and so the ceiling tiles in the schools are subject to not a lot of issues based on the age and all other things. We want to make sure that the environment is set properly for our students. Okay, the next slide will be the Lawrence School dishwasher replacement, $50,000. This dishwasher is 18 years old and has exceeded its useful life, and this is critical to food preparation and ensuring that our children receive the quality of food service that they need. The next slide is the pickup truck with plow, Unit 14, DPW item, $85,000. This is a plow with a truck with a plow, or a plow with a truck, however you want to receive that. Okay. All right. The next slide is Unit 1E or E1. It's a DPW vehicle, $45,000, hybrid vehicle. And so this will be replacing a 2013 vehicle with over 70,000 miles at the time that we put the slides together. So next slide is unit PR3, another pickup truck with plow, $85,000. Okay. Following that is going to be fire car number 2, $60,000. This will be
an emergency response vehicle and command vehicle, and it helped to get into a lot of places, and it'll also be an upgrade of communication equipment associated with that vehicle. The next one is all-terrain vehicles, $20,000 ATV with a trailer for transport. We have already put some forethought into the changes that you anticipate with the BFRT and other scenarios where they would need a smaller, more agile method of transportation for response and or pickup. We have, the next slide is paging clocks and bells systems, $25,000. Okay, so I think that stands on its own. Next one is the UHF standalone repeater, $25,000. This will benefit both fire and police with communications. Next slide is school interior painting. Naturally, we'll seek to do as much as we can in the off seasons for the schools where the children are not in place, but nonetheless, the painting needs to be done. And so that'll be $50,000 is the request on that. Then we have the sand and refinish all school gymnasium floors, $80,000. So the so there's a lot of coats on this floor, and it's time to get that back level, and so that the balls don't skip out of place, and all of those, and their surety in the performance of the floor, as well as the footing for our students. All right, there's another slide that follows that, and then we have the Nixon and noise refrigeration replacements. You may be wondering, why are we looking at stuff outside? Because the system is inside and outside. We typically look at the box that we walk in. But nonetheless, the system is over 25 years old, and it's time to replace that equipment. Next is the school doors and replacements, $50,000. So doors in schools are used at a very disproportionate rate, and they get worn a whole lot faster because of the use, as well as this is a security and safety measure that needs to be addressed. And so we know the reputation of our schools, and we want to maintain their security and safety along the way. Next slide is walkway design and construction, $50,000. Okay, this is a multi-year ask, $250,000 total on that, but this is a continuing effort. Is this year number three? I don't know what year it is. Sorry. Oh, it goes till 2027. I apologize. I'm going too fast. Oh, the next one's year number three. So the next one is scan, archive paper documents. This is year three of a five-year ask, $50,000. This is so that we can reduce the measures of paper that we have and get them in digital format, taking them to 11 by 17 in a digitized format, and it's going well, the project is. All right, next one is the Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School replace pickup truck, $40,000. Sudbury share is $35,036. And this will be a truck with a plow. Then we have, next is the Geld Skid Steer, say that really fast. $34,598 would be the Sudbury share of the vehicle, basically replacing a Bobcat. It's for grounds and buildings. It helps with snow removal as well as other transports and materials. And then we have the Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School replace firewall, and this is really important, $50,000 overall. $43,795 Sudbury share, and this is to maintain the Children's Internet Protection Act. And this will help us to sustain a safe, secure, serviced, and strong Sudbury. I yield.
Thank you. Finance Committee for report.
Capital starts on slide 13, Mark. There we go. You can scroll through the first three. It's just a listing of the votes that the FinCom took on. positions for capital articles in general. Our summary is on the last slide. The FinCom supports continued and amplified commitment to the adherence of policies and procedures to embrace a broader, more holistic capital planning. When policies are adhered to, specific projects proposed at future town meetings can be supported by FinCom without debate. To preserve the serviceability of our large investment in town assets and reduce expenses related to future remediation, and to enable the town to spread capital expenditures over time to minimize spikes in financial outlays or debt, we believe it's important for the town to continue improving its capital planning process. Ultimately, the town needs to be able to produce and maintain a multi-year, at least five, but preferably 15-year capital plan, with a reasonable expectation of how much it needs to invest in capital each year. To do this, the town needs better planning tools to anticipate and prioritize future needs, which starts with having an integrated and detailed asset inventory of capital assets and an assessment of future needs that's updated annually. There needs to be a standardized approach to capital planning across all cost centers and departments, with transparency of project submittals and access to the project details on a timely basis, such that FinCom, CIAC, and the Select Board can well inform their deliberations. As Sudbury has learned from multiple large capital projects recently, monitoring timelines and costs need consideration to avoid significant unanticipated increases or subsequent asks from the town to additionally fund amenities included in original project proposals. Finance Committee is glad that the Select Board and Town Manager recognize the importance of improved planning and appreciate that they have made significant steps to drive improvements during this past year. That's it.
Thank you. Does the Select Board have a report?
What's this article?
Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 4? Yes, in the back. Can you bring a microphone back there, please?
Just in case I didn't state overtly, FinCom supports Article 4.
Thank you.
86 Brookdale Road. I was looking over these. I appreciate all the effort that's gone into this, and it looks like, for the most part, we're trying to keep on top of things. My only question, the two things that stood out to me were two $85,000 trucks. With the plows, it seemed like everything throughout there, it had the reasonable life expectancy, and it, when we had it purchased, and in all cases, it seemed like it had reached its natural point in its life, except for those two plows, where I think it had a 10-year life expectancy on the slide, and I think it was well under that for both of those, and I question whether it's necessary to spend 17% of that $1 million on these two trucks already.
Thank you. Can you just repeat your name and address for our record?
Yep, Dan Martin, 86 Brookdale Road.
Thank you. Town Manager Hayes?
54321, testing, correct? Okay, there we go. All right, thank you. So, great question. So, I will answer in part if DPW needs to jump in, they will. But we have several vehicles. I don't know the number. 12 vehicles that were purchased in 2015. If we do not reallocate the spacing, then we're going to ask for a huge number of vehicles all at once when we get to that natural service life. So this is a part of the plan that DPW has that's been supported by the teams on the table here, and we just wanted to be respectful in that approach for replacement. I hope that answers.
Does anybody else wish to be heard on this article? Anyone in the black box? The quantum of vote required for passage is majority. All in favor of Article 4, please raise your cards. Thank you. All opposed, please raise your cards. Black box. Thank you. That passes unanimously. Article 5, FY23 Transfer Station Enterprise Fund Budget. Motion by Chair Roberts.
Move to appropriate
appropriate the sum of $300,124 for the Transfer Station Enterprise Fund for FY23 and further to authorize use of an additional $17,551 for indirect costs, such sums to be raised from $317,675 in FY23 receipts of the enterprise as set forth in the article.
Is there a second? There is. Presentation by Town Manager Hayes.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. This is Town Manager Henry Hayes. So I have the enterprise funds. I will ask the question if it is appropriate or not for me to present all three or just the one.
Let's just start with the article, for the fifth article.
Excellent. Thank you. So what is an enterprise fund? An enterprise fund gives the communities the flexibility to account separately for all financial activities associated with a broad range of municipal services. It establishes a separate accounting and financial reporting mechanism for municipal services for which a fee is charged in exchange for goods or services. Revenues and expenses of the service are segregated into a fund with financial statements separate from all other activities. The next slide will show you, it actually shows three items, but we'll go to the next slide and then one more. You turn in your warrant to page 4, 5, and 6 for these next few articles. Article 5, Transfer Station Enterprise Fund. You will see that the requested amount for the enterprise fund based on total revenues anticipated is $317,675. This the associated expenses are for the employees as well as their associated benefits, and then there's the maintenance and the associated hauling, recycling, and those types of activities for the transfer station. I yield.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position?
Finance Committee is in favor.
Thank you. Does the Select Board have a position?
The Select Board supports.
Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 5? Anyone in the black box? The quantum of vote required for passage of Article 5 is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Anyone opposed? Black box? Thank you. That passes unanimously. Article 6, motion by Chair Roberts.
The sum of $462,620 for the Pool Enterprise Fund for FY23 and further to authorize use of an additional $40,733 for indirect costs, said sums to be raised from $400,000 in FY23 receipts of the Enterprise Fund and $103,353 from Enterprise Fund retained earnings as set forth in the article.
Thank you. Is there a second? There is. Presentation by Town Manager Hayes.
Town Manager Henry Hayes, Article 6, Pool Enterprise. So you'll see that the total ask, as stated by the Chair of the Select Board in the motion, is $503,000, $353. Again, that covers the employees, their associated benefits as indirect costs, and then we have equipment maintenance, utilities, and programs that are associated, as well as general expenses. And that is Article 6, Pool Enterprise Fund.
Thank you. Finance Committee for position?
Finance Committee supports by a vote of 7-0.
And the Select Board?
The Select Board supports Article 6.
Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 6? Anyone in the black box? The quantum of vote required for passage of Article 6 is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Thank you. Anyone opposed? Black box. Thank you. That passes unanimously. I'm sorry, it's hard for me to hear. Yes. It passes nearly unanimously. Article 7, motion by Chair Roberts.
Of $209,796 for the Recreation Field Maintenance Enterprise Fund for FY23 and further to authorize use of an additional $26,089 for indirect costs, said sums to be raised from $235,885 in FY23 receipts of the enterprise as set forth in the article.
Is there a second? There is. Presentation by Town Manager Hayes.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Henry Hayes, Town Manager. Article 7, Recreation Field Maintenance Enterprise. So, as read by the Chair of the Select Board, the request is $235,885 to cover the salaries, to cover the indirect costs of benefits and insurance, as well as the field maintenance, park maintenance, utilities as associated costs. Disregard last. That's, I yield.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position?
Finance Committee voted to support 9-0.
Does the Select Board have a position?
The Select Board supports Article 7.
Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 7? Anyone in the black box? The quantum of vote required for passage is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Anyone opposed, please raise your cards. Black box. Thank you. That passes by more than majority. Article 8, motion by Chair Roberts.
Move in the words of the article with the sum of $240,641 to be transferred from free cash.
Is there a second? There is. Presentation by Town Manager Hayes.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Henry Hayes, Town Manager. Article 8, FY Fiscal Year 2023, Snow and Ice Transfer. Snow and Ice Transfer can be found in your warrant. The amount is not printed in the warrant. It is on page 6. Ultimately, we had a budget of $424,750 for FY22 budget, and we are requesting the $240,641 from free cash to offset snow and ice. I paused because I didn't hear the 50 cents in the motion. There were 15 winter events, snow and included. There was 50.2 inches of snowfall, and then there was almost 3,400 tons of salt utilized. And there were other incidences, about 11 incidences that were immeasurable but required treatments of roads. So your support of this will help us to sustain a safe, secure service and strong Sudbury.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position?
FinCom supports the Article 8-0.
Thank you. Does the Select Board have a position?
The Select Board supports Article 8.
Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 8? Anyone in the black box? The quantum of vote required for passage of Article 8 is a majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Thank you. All opposed, please raise your cards. Black box. Thank you. That passes unanimously. Article 9, motion by Chair Roberts.
Move to indefinitely postpone.
Thank you. Is there a second? There is. We have a presentation by Assistant Town Accountant Robin Porcella.
There are no unpaid bills.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position? Select Board?
The Select Board supports it.
Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 9? Black box. Thank you. The quantum of vote required for passage is 4/5. All in favor, please raise. Please. Okay. The quantum of passage is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Thank you. Any opposed? Black box. Thank you. That passes unanimously. Article 13, motion by Chair Roberts.
$100,000 to be transferred from free cash.
Is there a second? There is. Presentation by Town Manager Hayes.
Town Manager Henry Hayes, Article 13, Capital Stabilization Fund. Right, very good. So the capital stabilization account is used basically as a savings opportunity. And once the account is established to do any expenditures from that account would require 2/3 vote of town meeting. Our current balance is $500,100. In 2021, the account was not funded, anticipating an opportunity to fund with $500,000 contribution in this town meeting that we're in. Next slide, please. So ultimately, the methodology and the logic is in line with the 2020 April DLS, or Division of Local Services, report on capital plan funding strategies. And so we took that into account, as well as the words that we've heard from both the Finance Committee and the Select Board. And our ask and request in this town meeting is for the $500,000 for the capital stabilization. I yield.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position?
Finance Committee recommends supporting 9-0.
Thank you. Does the Select Board have a position?
The Select Board supports Article 13.
Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 13? Black box. The quantum of vote required for passage of Article 13 is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Anyone opposed, please raise your cards. Black box. Thank you. Article 13 passes unanimously. Article 14, motion by Chair Roberts.
Move in the words of the article, with the sum of $100,000 to be transferred from free cash.
Is there a second? There is. Presentation by Select Board Member Carty.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. Good evening, Sudbury. It certainly is good to see everybody here. My name is Dan Carty. It's my honor to be here to present Article 14 to you. I'm a member of the Sudbury Select Board. I'm also chair of the Sudbury Transportation Committee. you want to skip forward to, Mark. So in your warrant, you're going to see the select board summary of the article, which, Mark, next slide, which you see here. Is the Go Sudbury Taxi Program, for people who aren't familiar with it, started in 2020. And then a secondary program called Go Sudbury Uber started in 2021. And up until this point, has been completely funded with grants and mitigation fund appropriations. Through the end of 2021, we provided approximately 2,000 rides to Sudbury's financially vulnerable, residents with disabilities, those age 50 and over, essential workers and military personnel, to and from health care and social service appointments, shopping, community resources, and places of employment. Approval of this article is going to provide funds to continue this operation, the operation of these programs into and through fiscal year 2023. So again, let's start with a little history of what this is all about. A few years back, the town did a study called the Livable Sudbury Study. It was spearheaded by the Council on Aging and the Senior Center. And that study showed that transportation gaps was one of the biggest problems that we had in Sudbury when considering what made a community livable. So rather than be a plan that just sat on the shelf, again, driven starting with the Council on Aging and the Senior Center and coming to us on the select board, we created the Transportation Committee a couple years back to start to define and address these gaps. The committee isn't completely unique, but it's somewhat unique in that it's a mix of citizens and staff, and we've been working over the last couple of years to get this program up and running. Next, please. Livable Sudbury, again, we talk about these gaps in the overall livability and long-term attractiveness of a town. Specifically, we talk about social participation and inclusion, access to community and health services, housing options, access to outdoor spaces, and civic participation and employment. Next slide, please. So Sudbury is categorized as rural, and thus it's pretty difficult to justify having mass transit here in town. And it doesn't mean we're without issues. In fact, technically we're referred to what's called a transit desert. We know that we have an increasing senior population in town. We have increasing financially vulnerable population in town. And as people move into affordable and age-restricted housing that we've created over the past few years, we've also seen an increase in the number of people with various disabilities that limit the impact to drive. So if we did nothing, we know that it's reasonable to think that these gaps are only going to widen. So just a lot here on this one slide, but for those of you, again, who aren't familiar with this program, here's a little bit of background. Okay, the programs serve the same population. Again, those are people 50 and over, 18 plus with a disability that limits driving, those with financial need, essential workers, and military members. Okay, where they start to differ is the taxi program is completely free right now. Any location within 25 miles of Sudbury, excluding Logan Airport, but the rides either have to start or end in Sudbury. But taxis are restricted to healthcare appointments. Okay, it's important to note that the taxi services we use are wheelchair accessible. Now, meanwhile, Uber serves the same population of people, but there's a small copay involved. So if you're driving within Sudbury, it's a $1 charge. If it's to or from our neighboring towns, it's going to be $2. And if it's upwards of recently increased from 25 to 35 miles, that's $10, and again, excluding Logan Airport. The reason we bumped that from 25 to 30 is working with the schools. We're trying to widen the net a little bit and get METCO families involved so that they can get rides. Maybe parents can get a ride to a parent-teacher conference or something like that. We're not limited to the types of rides that the Uber program is for. However, Uber is not wheelchair accessible. Okay. Again, just next slide, please. So up until now, as I mentioned, all the funding has been happening through either grants or mitigation money. We've had a couple of rounds of the MAPC, COVID-19 emergency taxi grants that we've taken advantage of. Again, thank you to the Council on Aging for their repeated support of this program by giving us Meadowwalk mitigation money. I think people are familiar with the Meadowwalk project down on Route 20. We actually got $100,000 in mitigation money specifically for transportation initiatives. We've used a little over $71,000 of that with this program so far. $10,000 from Coolidge mitigation and $5,000 from Bay Path grants. One other thing to add here that's important to know is this is a regional issue. Again, you know, that slide we showed pretty quickly with us as a transit desert, we're not the only ones. Similarly, Acton, Bolton, Concord, Maynard, Stowe, we're working together with all these folks, and many of these grants have been distributed across all those towns. We are, however, the lead town. Literally, we are the lead town for these regionalization efforts, and we're, I would say, quite a bit ahead of most of these other towns with the services that we've been able to provide up until this point. So next slide. So what has your money bought, or what has this money bought? Again, it's giving folks that, you know, our most vulnerable residents rides to things like health care. What we found over the last year or so of analyzing this data has a heavy concentration for dialysis appointments, cancer treatments, therapies. People are going shopping, grocery stores, pharmacies. We've had, I don't know if anybody's here tonight, hitched a ride on and go Sudbury to town meeting. We've certainly had people come to town meeting before. This way, rides to the food bank, Goodnell Library, Senior Center, and again to their places of employment. So just looking at a subset of data there between May 2021 and January 2022, we had 483 taxi rides. We had a little over 1,000 Uber rides. And you can see the number of unique riders that we've had there. So next slide. So again, just I think also equally important is what this money has bought us as far as data. Okay, we've collected an enormous amount of data, which I think is very important to visualize what the future of transportation in Sudbury may look like. The map you see here is a couple of months of data of what Uber looks like. Red pins is where rides started, blue pins are where they've ended, and you can pretty quickly pick up patterns of where people are going, very heavily transfer up and down Route 20. Okay, we're able to see we don't look at who's taking the ride, but we are interested in where they're going, and again, we can see repeated rides to medical appointments, food shopping. There are some longer distance rides in there, but most of the Uber rides in particular are very short in distance. Next slide. So not only with this tangible data, but we've collected quite a bit of survey data as well. I'm not going to read this all to you, but again, the surveys, I think, show a lot of common themes in here. Things like, I've experienced isolation. This is a much-needed service. It helped me help my physical and emotional well-being. I do want to call out the last one, though. There's two very interesting things that came in this one. It states not only that this person had no other options to get to where they were going, but it literally was a lifesaver in my case. So next slide. So here we are. We're at a critical stage at this point with this program. And again, we know that, you know, transportation is one of our town's biggest challenges here. So what are we going to do next? Okay. So in conclusion, it really comes down to this. Again, up to this point, we've been able to fund this program with grant money and mitigation money. Okay, we're going to continue to look for those sources. We're going to continue. We've got some grant applications in the pipeline right now. We certainly will continue to do that. But while we continue to pursue these grants, we do know that they're unreliable and not really sustainable for the long-term viability of this program or any other program. So this really is the first time that we've come to the town to ask for money directly for this. And we think on the Transportation Committee think that this is really going to be a good indicator of whether or not this is the type of service that the voters and taxpayers of Sudbury are going to be willing to pay for. So if we move forward and approve this article, we believe that we're going to be able to run this program for about another year. Okay. Now, while that's happening, we'll work with the select board and town manager to see if there's any other more sustainable options to run this longer than a year. Okay. It is worth noting that transportation remains on the short list, on the very short list of high priority goals for the select board. If this isn't approved, the truth of the matter is we're going to run out of money with the service and we'll have to start shutting it down. So in conclusion, I should say, I want to thank all the members of the Transportation Committee. Again, it's a great group, a mix of citizens and staff members. We've also had a small handful of active citizens that have been very helpful in attending our meetings and providing us very important feedback. And I want to thank town meeting for listening to this proposal. The Finance Committee and Select Board, you'll hear in a minute, have both approved this article. So thank you.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position?
Finance Committee recommends approval 9-0.
Does the Select Board have a position?
The Select Board supports Article 14.
Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 14?
In the back, please, up on the balcony.
Thank you. Okay, it's working. Thank you. I'm Kay Bell. I live at 348 Old Lancaster Road, and I'm the chair of the Commission on Disability in Sudbury. The Commission on Disability voted unanimously 8-0 in favor of recommending passage of Article 14. We appreciate the microtransit program supported in this article, with hopes that the data that is accumulated will help jumpstart, see what I did there, a broader, more complete public transportation system in Sudbury and connect us to our neighboring communities and beyond. The disability community certainly needs ways to get to all the same places everybody else does. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to be heard on this article? Oh, I'm sorry. There's another one in the back, please. Thank you.
Hi. I'm Linda Faust at 189 Boston Post Road. I can't tell you how grateful I am, you know, for being able to have these services. I have very low vision. I'm visually impaired and hearing impaired. And, you know, I moved to Sudbury at first because I really didn't want to live here, you know, but I was kind of forced to. And so I met Kay and, you know, she and I have been part of lobbying for better transportation. And, you know, I'd like to be able to see this definitely pass, and for this to keep going for more than a year. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to be heard on Article 14? Anyone in the black box? The quantum of vote required for passage of Article 14 is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Thank you. All opposed, please raise your cards. Black box. Thank you. Article 14 passes by more than majority. Article 15, motion by Chair Roberts.
Move to indefinitely postpone.
Thank you. Is there a second? There is. Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 15? Okay. Anyone in black box wants to be heard? The quantum of vote required for passage is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Thank you. Anyone opposed, please raise your card. Black box. Thank you. Article 15 passes by unanimously. Article 16, motion by Chair Roberts.
Move in the words of the article with a sum of $200,000 to be transferred from free cash.
Is there a second? There is. Presentation by Select Board Member Russo.
Start.
There we go. Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Charlie Russo. I'm with the Select Board. This presentation is for Article 16, funding of a land use consultant for the Seawataro Liberty Ledge property. I won't read this word for word, but what you see here is the purpose of this article and its report. This article asks for $200,000 from free cash to hire an independent land use consultant to study, evaluate, and expand the full range of options for the short-term and long-term uses for the Seawataro Liberty Ledge property under the direction of the Director of Planning and Community Development, Adam DeShano. So let's talk for a minute about the $200,000 versus the $100,000 that was printed in the warrant. This was a change that was approved by the Select Board in a 3-2 vote at its April 26th meeting. The reason for that is that the $200,000 amount more closely aligns with the estimate that we've received from a planning consultant that the town has worked with well in the past, which was solicited by the Director of Planning and Community Development. It also is consistent with the amount requested by the citizens' petition. Quick thank you to that group. They have kept this issue on the Select Board's front burner, despite the many other demands on our time and attention. And at this point, there's not a lot of daylight between their proposal and ours. But I do want to be clear that this is a Select Board article, and we have put it forward to seek an objective analysis that focuses on enhanced access and amenities to all residents. So for Seawataro, just a little background, residents approved this at town meeting and at the town election in 2019, but since then there's no money set aside for the operating budget for maintenance, operations, or programming at the site. Those votes back in 2019 were simply to purchase the property. So the costs for the operations and maintenance up there are currently covered by the camp operator of Camp Seawataro. So what this study would do is consider what's the best recommendation for the best use up there. What would the cost be if we just kept the camp going there with no changes? What would they be if we did something different, maybe beside the camp, in addition to the camp during the off-season, or just something, you know, more town-focused? Could we provide additional town services up there? And if so, what might it cost? So this type of planning is really just simple due diligence, and it has not yet occurred. And look, I just want to say it's a great piece of property. If you haven't been up there, you should go. It's a beautiful site, and everyone should be happy we bought it. I'm looking forward to this being one of the town's crown jewels. What this is looking to do is just polish and support and safeguard this property. So why should we do this study? Well, we haven't done this kind of study yet. So the town voted to spend $11 million on the property with no definitive plan identified. You can see at town meeting in 2019, the potential uses as presented then were fairly broad and fairly unique. And so additional planning efforts were envisioned at the time, as you can see on this slide. So in many ways, this planning effort would simply fulfill a promise that was made as part of the approval in the 2019 town meeting. So here we see these types of land planning efforts are not unusual. Hiring an outside consultant would help us to obtain an objective analysis of the opportunities and the challenges that Seawataro presents, and could help us lead to suggestions for improvements to amenities for residents. Some people have said, you know, is Seawataro being treated differently? And I would say that, you know, if you look back, Broadacres had its charrette. Many of the other land purchases that we've made in the past had a very defined use in mind at the time of the presentation of the purchase. And so what this would do is take the very broad range of uses that were identified at the town meeting and the time of purchase and help us just identify, you know, what would most benefit residents. So we've spent $11 million there. You know, shouldn't we spend a bit more to ensure that we're getting the best long-term use for it? And I would argue that it's good to take a long-term view of a major land purchase. As of now, if the camp operator decided to cease operations, we currently have no backup plan, you know, for what we would do next. And there's no money in the operating budget to do anything up there, not even the bare minimum maintenance. So this study would provide recommendations and alternatives on just an idea of what those costs might be. This is just simply prudent planning. And just a note, you know, if this were to move forward, it would move to staff. The Director of Planning and Community Development would take over the process and begin to work on an RFP. It would then go out to a competitive bid process. So we would find, you know, from the professionals, you know, what they would evaluate and what they would recommend. So it would go to, you know, an outside objective process from there. So just to touch on, you know, why two similar articles? We have Article 16 and 57. And so just, you know, as the slide shows, initially there was a group of residents. They organized to request that the select board take the lead on this type of planning effort. We were kind of busy at the time. We didn't quite get to it in the speed they wanted. And when no immediate action occurred, they just sort of kept their momentum going, and they led to the citizens' petition. Upon considering that, the select board has decided to put forward its own slightly modified version. And since then, we've been gathering information, iterating on this, and we have the article that you see before you tonight. Just a note, I will note that if both the articles were to pass, then a total of $400,000 would be allocated to this project, which would tie up a lot of money that could be otherwise dedicated to other beneficial uses for residents. The way it works is when town meeting funds something, that amount remains dedicated to that project until the funds are fully expended or until a later town meeting vote authorizes a reversion. Something to keep in mind. So one question we've gotten on this is, you know, aren't we doing this already in some of our other plans? Aren't we already considering this for the open space plan and whatnot? And I would say the short answer to that is a resounding no. Many of the other plans require a much different set of scope and skills, and so a full evaluation of CWTR wouldn't be covered under these other plans. In addition, you know, it's been noted there's a logical sort of sequence of events, then information building that these series of plans would provide us. You know, the example I give is there's the big field next to the parking lot. You know, could we put soccer fields there? But you know, having the analysis of the overall townwide open space plan would help us understand that. Having the athletic needs assessment done prior to that would help us know, you know, is this an effort worth pursuing? So all these planning efforts that are proposed would feed into the CWTR land use evaluation, but none of them would replace or duplicate a distinct CWTR land use plan. I will note the select board has voted to support this article several times in several forms. And we have here Article 16, a request for $200,000 from free cash to fund a CWTR land use consultant. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position?
Finance Committee voted to support, 5-2.
And could the Select Board report their position?
The Select Board supports Article 16.
Do I need to go back to the Finance Committee?
Vote was two in favor, 5 against.
Thank you. And the Select Board?
The Select Board supports Article 16.
Thank you. Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 16? I'll start with members in the hall, and then we'll get to the... Yes, over there.
Ray Schmidt Cross, 298 Maynard Road in Sudbury. I would like to say that I believe that the CWTR project was an erroneous project, was a vanity project. We spent $11 million. The promise at the time was that the project would pay for itself. We now see that it's not paying for itself. We now see that we need to put a further $200,000 into it, and I have no doubt that we're going to put many more millions of dollars into it. You say that we have no backup plan in case the camp ceases to operate as a camp. I say we do have a backup plan. We sell it, and we fund the need projects like Fairbanks and fire stations ahead of the want projects like Suataro. Thank you.
Scouts, can you get back there? Thank you.
Can
you repeat that? The mic wasn't on.
Okay. Oops, I guess it's on. Kathy Jacob, 328 Old Lancaster Road. I missed something. Where did the $400,000 come from for the total cost?
Sure. Could you go over that, Mr. Russo?
A little slower or something. I don't know.
Sure. Sorry. That was just to highlight. There's a second similar article proposed, Article 57. So I was just sort of highlighting if they were to both pass, the total amount would be, you know, dedicated to this project. There's two for $200,000.
One of them is a different article.
Correct.
Okay. But we're not overspending free cash, right?
Correct.
Scouts in the back there, please.
Kevin Portelli, 188 Willis Road. I'm a bit unclear about, are these funds coming from free cash or are we raising them? Like Mr. Russo said, free cash. On the slide we see free cash, but on the warrant it's not strictly free cash. And I think I saw a slide in Mr. Russo's presentation that also kind of was ambiguous. So can we clarify that, please?
Mr. Russo, can you clarify that, please?
The request is for $200,000 from free cash.
Thank you. In the front here, please. Good. And then when you're done, if you could just turn around and pass the microphone off. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Garvin, 26 Bowditch Road, Chairman of the Planning Board. We'd like to recognize town staff planning to give the Planning Board's position on this article.
Sure.
Good evening. Thank you. Adam DeShano, Director of Planning and Community Development. At this time, the Planning Board and the Master Plan Implementation Committee unanimously do not support this warrant article. Again, at this point in time, the Planning Board and the Master Plan Implementation Committee feel it is more important and appropriate to first complete the outdated Open Space and Recreation Plan and the Athletic Fields Needs Assessment and Master Plan prior to commencing with the Land Use Consulting Study for the Suataro Liberty Ridge property. Both the updated Open Space and Recreation Plan and Athletic Fields Needs Assessment and Master Plan will help the community determine its future needs on a townwide basis. These plans will assist in setting the town's framework for the land use study for the Suataro Liberty Ridge property. Additionally, these two planning studies will be necessary to inform the land use study as recommended in the recently updated master plan. Furthermore, the Planning Board feels the scope of the proposal for the Suataro Liberty Ridge land use study should be narrower. The master plan update, which spanned from 2019 to 2021, cost almost $140,000, and it appears the proposed cost estimate for the land use study for the Suataro Liberty Ridge property does not align with the work that will be required to obtain the desired results. For these reasons, at their meeting on April 27, 2022, again at this time, the Planning Board and Master Plan Implementation Committee voted unanimously to not support this warrant article. Thank you.
Yep.
Richard Williamson, 22 Farmstead Lane. I'm speaking as a member of the Park and Recreation Commission. In fact, my 12-year tenure on that commission ends tomorrow, so this is my last chance to say something as part of the Park and Rec. Normally, our chair, Mara Houston, would be here, but she COVID got to her. She's not here tonight, so I'm trying to convey her thoughts and Park and Rec's feelings. What Park and Rec has recommended to the Select Board if I went through summary, it's pretty redundant with what's already been presented by the Select Board on behalf of this project. We feel that the acquisition of the property was done in a rush with minimal forward planning, and it's about time we did a comprehensive look at what the future is for this $11 million investment that we might be stuck with if we don't work it out carefully.
Mr. Schneller. Mr. Schneller will make his remarks, and then I will continue on.
Bill Schneller, 37 Jarman Road. I am a member of the Select Board, but I'm presenting as a citizen. My position aligns with that just given by the Planning Director on behalf of the Planning Board, and I heard Master Plan Committee against this article. Real briefly, I just want to point out that there isn't so much doubt about what the Suitara property is a good thing for. What you see on the left is what we have right now. If you haven't been there, it has swimming facilities, fishing pond, tennis courts, basketball, all sorts. It's a recreational facility. And through some excellent planning by our Select Board and excellent job of negotiating when we sent Select Board member Charlie Russo in, we've locked in with the property manager, camp operator, an extension for the next 5 years through 2027 to continue operating and paying the town and providing, you know, camp for the summer months and opening it up for swimming on weekends to residents and evenings. The swimming, not necessarily evenings. And putting in ADA accessibility enhancements, probably the most significant enhancements that are planned for the town. You know, I don't want what's on the right-hand side. And among the full expanse of alternatives being committed and that were put in that estimate that went up to $200,000 for a consultant were the let's build houses option. Next slide, please. This, I think, is really important and not known by people. The blue line is the debt, the principal on the debt. Yes, the property was purchased for $11.27 million. We will pay it off by 2041, 20-year term. The red line is the cumulative amount that's being paid towards debt service. And the green line is, it starts out with actuals because we've had the property for a couple of seasons. Actually, in the early days here, we've gotten $560,000 from the camp, and we've only had to spend $320,000 or thereabouts. So we're actually ahead so far. But yes, the 20-year term kicks in, and so there will be a deficit. But look at that. It's, you know, the green line is what we get from the camp. It's covering about half. And by the time the 20-year debt is paid off, we will have received approximately $11 million from the camp should the terms that Charlie negotiated with the camp operator, you know, be renewed, as it can be done for a second 5-year term after this and beyond. Great job. The first 3-year term had $120,000, you know, fixed payment per year plus revenue share. For the next 5 and beyond, it's been up to a guaranteed $200,000 a year plus a 3% increase every year. So there's guaranteed money coming in, and the revenue share is healthy as well. So you'll notice that the town will have had to spend $14 million in total debt payments, debt service, $11 million from Suitaro. So we're getting the property for $3 million, while Suitaro operations pay us $11 million. And if you just, once the debt's gone, you go another few years, and it's totally paid for. Next slide, please. This one I think is important. The red annotations were mine. The rest of the slide was presented by Charlie to the board a week ago or so. And what it shows is what we heard from the planning director, that there are some studies across the 2022 line. Begins the open space and recreation plan study, continues all through 2023. In 2024, the athletic fields needs assessment proceeds. We are here in May of 2022. If we wanted to do this study, as Select Board Member Russo outlined, beginning in 2025, why do we have to appropriate funds for it now? It would be put out to bid in fall of 2024. So this is premature. I guess I'll just leave it at that. Next slide. So vote no on this article, and I would suggest on Article 57 later. Now is not the time. Suitaro is not the place to be putting $200,000 towards a land use consultant at this time.
Is there anybody in the balcony who wishes to be heard on this article? Okay. Anybody on the main floor? Oh, I'm sorry. There is in the balcony. You could bring her a microphone, please.
Thank you, Madam Moderator. I'm Kay Bell, 348 Old Lancaster Road, and I'm speaking as the chair of the Commission on Disability. The Commission on Disability voted in favor of recommending passage of Article 16, though I must say we had a discussion that was one of confusion because there are two articles that are similar. So without knowing the technicalities of how the town meeting would handle those two, we basically are in favor of conducting a study now because the land is there and available for use now. And there seems to be so much positive potential for residents and visitors to enjoy that lovely site. And it's only logical to analyze the possibilities so they can be really developed most optimally with a human-centered design approach from the start. That property will better serve all of us, including those of us with various disabilities, which we would really look forward to doing, to using that sooner rather than later. Thank you.
In the middle on the balcony.
Hi, my name is Jordan Walks. I'm at 22 King Philip. So at first...
Can you just repeat your name? I'm sorry, for our record.
Yes, Jordan Walks, W-A-C-H-S, at 22 King Philip Road. So at initial glance through the article, it does concern me the breadth of the scope. However, having listened to several of the comments, on one end we're concerned that selling the land to a developer because it's an easy way to make some money and make some of our money back might be one of the outcomes of the study. On the other end, there's a certainly human-centric design aspect to this. There are a lot of accounting techniques that I'm not seeing having been employed here today. Looking at just a simple payback value isn't really the right way to measure the value of a long-term project, especially in the order of $11 million over a couple of decades, one would expect a net present value assessment or something like that. However, expanding beyond that, it's certainly possible to look into double bottom line accounting and other more sophisticated techniques that can really be used to increase the value to all of the stakeholders across the town rather than just simply the bare bones financial metrics. It would seem wise to me then, given the dollar amount and the concern within the community, that we might, as part of the study, employ stakeholder-centric accounting techniques that are likely to take account of some of the more human-centric concerns that we've heard here tonight.
Anyone else on Article 16?
In the back here.
Hank Zaret, 58 Longfellow Road. I support this article. A little history. The town bought this property based on a slick marketing campaign that persuaded a majority of the townspeople that it was a good deal. In fact, it's a bad deal. When you consider the amount of lost tax revenue and the amount of debt service, the town loses money and is now subsidizing the camp operator. This camp operator serves a group of campers, the vast majority of whom are not Sudbury residents. So we are subsidizing a business that allows a camp operator to make a very healthy living without providing benefit to the town. The study would allow us to look forward to figure out whether we can use this property consistent with the camp going forward to the benefit of the community, maybe make it handicap accessible, and then to contemplate what's our next move as we reach the end of this lease. Now, when the matter was before the select board, I made the argument that this agreement was in fact a lease. And as a lease, it could not be approved without a vote of town meeting. By deeming it a management contract, town council advised that they could circumvent bringing the matter before town meeting. Whether that legal opinion was right or wrong, it deprived the town meeting of the ability to vote on whether or not to extend this agreement. Now, let's plan forward. We didn't do any planning when we bought the property. The whole so-called master plan, from my view, is a cat's hairball. It does not carefully address a lot of competing values and is far too bureaucratic. Let's focus on figuring out what's best for this property on a going-forward basis and figure it out in advance so we're not yet at one of those situations where, gee whiz, we don't have any time to figure it out. Thank you.
Ms. Roberts?
Hello? Okay, that works. All right. Jennifer Roberts of the Select Board. I'm speaking as an individual Select Board member. I think this is pretty simple. The majority of the Select Board is seeking to keep a promise from the 2019 town meeting when we acquired the Suitaro property. We agreed that it would be used in the short term as a camp, but that in the longer term there would be a longer term use analysis. And we did recently vote to extend the Suitaro contract, but I think some members, and certainly including myself, said that parallel to that, while this extension occurs, we wanted this longer-term use study to happen. We do have the free cash now for this project. The Select Board can start to think about this project and to plan for this project and hand it over to the Planning Department when they are ready. But again, this is an effort to fulfill a promise to do a longer-term study, and I believe it's the right thing to do. Thank you.
We're going to hear from a few more people, and I need to check in with the black box to see if anybody else has anything that they want to say. But if the scout could bring the microphone into the middle, please. And I would just ask that if anybody has a different type of opinion that has not already been expressed, we don't want to duplicate opinions, but anything different would be appreciated. I don't think there is. if you keep talking into it, it might turn on. Try again.
Hello.
There you go.
There we go. All right. Hi. Siri Fried, 330 North Road. I'm not speaking to offer an opinion. I really just have a question. We've got two articles on this warrant that address the same issue, and we're informed by Mr. Russo that approving them both means appropriating funds for both. So there's just a question, really, of whether these two articles actually seek to accomplish the same thing, or whether there's actually sort of a hidden difference between the two, where approving one tends to go and turns to one result, and approving the other leads to a different result. I don't know the answer to those things. I'm wondering whether anybody has figured out whether there is an actual substantive difference between Articles 16 and 57. So that's why I'm speaking. Thank you.
Sure. I'll let Mr. Russo address that.
I'll get going on this one. I think the short answer to that, and I would look to maybe town council and staff to keep me in bounds if I'm wrong. I think the short answer is that ultimately there would be no difference, because in either case, whichever path we took, it would ultimately go to staff to draft the RFP. That RFP would be put out in a competitive process to hear back from the consultants. You know, we don't know. I mean, the consultants might come back with bids of $50,000 or $199.99, where, you know, this is what consultants do. They might offer the lowest bid price. They might try to maximize the price. But I think either pathway would go to the, you know, appropriately to professional planning staff and then a bid process. Does that answer the question?
So I'm going to take two more speakers from this room, one being Mr. Simon, and then I know there were a couple other people who wanted to speak.
Is this on? Yes. Thank you, Madam Moderator. Len Simon, Meadowbrook Circle. I can tell you that if this article, Article 16, passes tonight, Article 57, which is the other article, in the same amount, will be withdrawn. There will be only one article. I'd also like to congratulate the Select Board, in particular Mr. Russo, for doing such a fine job in coming forth with his article, in adjusting it appropriately, in speaking with a land use consultant who would do an excellent job with this project. This article was originally presented for really three reasons. First, when the property was purchased in 2019, there was no due diligence done by the town. The second is when the town purchased Liberty Ledge, there was no plan for the use of the property. And this is the first and only use that this town will have for at least the next 5 years to have a say in how Liberty Ledge and that property will be used. The third is no one has asked you, the residents, how you want Liberty Ledge to be used, what recreational purposes you want to have. This is the opportunity for you to express yourself. The consultant who will do this job, and I know one because I walked the property with her, she will ask you, what do you want Liberty Ledge to be? How do you want to use it? You paid $11 million for it. You're the ones who should make that decision. So for multiple reasons, tonight is your opportunity. You won't get another chance for at least another 5 years as to how you want to use Liberty Ledge. As it stands now, during the warm months of the year, which we're coming up to, Liberty Ledge, for the most part, is and will continue to be off limits to you. No swimming. No use of the courts. There's a fence. You can't go in that fence. we found major problems with the swimming area. They can't put chlorine in anymore. I don't know what the result will be. A lot of work needs to be done. This is no, you will not have a walk in the park if you say no tonight to Article 16. Thank you.
I want to be mindful of the time, so if anybody has a question or something different than has already been expressed, I will call on you. The gentleman with the glasses, he's been holding his hand up. Thank you. Mr. Schneller, you are not called upon at this point.
Kevin Matthews, Haynes Road. So I've heard from the very beginning in Mr. Russo's explanation is that there's not a lot of distance between these two proposals. In fact, I think I also heard that the selectmen's creation of the Article 16 was driven by the citizens' petition. And I would like to let people know that the people who are driving this process are the same people that opposed Suetaro. No, it's on record. So it's the organization that was opposed Suetaro is the same organization that's driving this citizen's position. The same people, with the addition of a future select person. So there is two choices here, not a study. If you vote for this, you will certainly see a paved area. Suetaro will go away. It absolutely will, because these people are driven to kill Suetaro. You have a warm and fuzzy version in Article 16, and you have an absolute driven situation in Article 57. But the result will be the same, and the support that I'm hearing in the room all look back to Suetaro's adoption as a mistake. Listen to that. That's what the choice is. Bulldoze this area or keep it going. And I'll tell you, 10 years later, you'll see this was a real loss. You could get just another development, or you could have a gem up in North Sudbury that would be close to the rail trail. And it would be something that we would be proud of for decades.
Can you pass the microphone to the lady next to you? And this will be the last comment.
Kirsten Rupenian, 45 Harness Lane. So I remember standing here in 2019 and listening to the proponents of Suetaro. I was opposed. I stood up in opposition to it. But now that we have Suetaro and we've spent the $11 million, I feel as though we need to make the highest and best use out of what we have. It is a community asset. We have opportunity here to make something of this property. But without a plan, we don't have that opportunity. If we wait for another year or another 6 months or another 2 years to pass an article similar to this, then those consultant costs are going to go up, and we all know that. Everything is going up. We are in inflation. We need to do something, and I would prefer that we did it now because there was a commitment made by members of the Finance Committee, by proponents of Suetaro, and the questions that were asked by opponents of Suetaro that said, we are committed to finding the highest and best use for this property. And as the legislators, as you sit here tonight, making decisions on behalf of the community, there are people who aren't here tonight because either they weren't able to be here or they've never really understood what town meeting is all about, and so I would invite you to encourage them to attend at another time. However, I believe strongly that commitments made are commitments kept. If we can't keep our commitments, our credibility goes down. And those commitments that were made, I would hold the town to those commitments. Thank you.
At this point, I would like to have the vote. The quantum of vote required for passage of Article 16 is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards.
Thank you. All opposed? Please raise your cards. I think we're going to have to do a count. Let's do this one more time. All in favor of Article 16, please raise your hand. All opposed, please raise your hand. That's the black box vote. Thank you. So I have a precise number in the black box, but we're going to have to do a hand count here.
Point of order.
Yes.
Can we try doing a standing vote to see if that makes it clearer to the moderator?
I don't think it's going to make any difference. Do you want to try a standing vote?
Okay.
We'll try a standing vote. All in favor of Article 16, please stand up. Okay, everybody sit down, and then all opposed, please stand. So Article 16 does not pass. It was majority opposed. It's 10:24. I'm going to move on to Article 18. I am not going to the rail trail tonight. We're going to do Article 18 and then stop, and we'll deal with the rail trail tomorrow. Motion by Chair Roberts. Yes. I can't hear you. Yeah, so if people leave, then I may not have a quorum. And I would like very much to get through Article 18 tonight.
Hi. You want me to read it?
Ms. Roberts, could you please make the motion?
Yes. For Article 18, move in the words of the article.
Is there a second? There is. Presentation by Beth Sudemeyer, environmental planner.
Moderator. I'm Beth Stidmeier, the environmental planner in the Office of Planning and Community Development. I'm presenting Article 18 this evening on behalf of the Select Board. This is mainly a housekeeping article, so I hope I won't keep you long. This is the transfer of tax possession parcel to the Park and Recreation Commission. So this parcel, known as Parkinson Field, is located off of Hudson Road. Sorry, can folks hear me okay? Thank you. It was acquired by tax title foreclosure in 1970. And normally when a tax title taking occurs, the parcel becomes under the custody and control of the treasurer's office. And normally town meeting would vote subsequent to that to determine the intended use and the care custody by a board or commission in town for that parcel. This vote of town meeting never happened historically since that 1970 tax taking. Thus, we are trying to clean up the record this evening by transferring the tax possession parcel to Park and Recreation Commission. Park and Rec has maintained the parcel and utilized the parcel for an extended period of time. And this article just formalizes the transfer to the Park and Rec Commission consistent with the current use and management. This the need for this vote came up as the result of the due diligence that occurred in association with the Bruce Freeman Rail Trail and the right-of-way process therein. So it's not directly related to the rail trail, but it is something that is a factor in a future article that will evidently be considered tomorrow night for the rail trail. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the FinCom have a position?
No.
Does the Select Board have a position?
The Select Board supports this article.
Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 18? Does anybody in the black box want to be heard? The quantum of vote required for passage of Article 18 is 2/3. All in favor, please raise your cards. Thank you. All opposed? Black box. Thanks. Article 18 passes unanimously. At this point, it is 10:29, and I would take a motion to adjourn until the next night. Is there a second? Okay. All in favor? Okay, 7:30 tomorrow, May 3rd. Any opposed? Passes unanimously.